Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at the boot camp, back at it again. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Man, I'm excited. This is a replant boot camp first.
This is actually insane what we're doing. That's what this is.
Maybe a little.
Just a little bit. This is replant road trip. We are literally in Brandon Moore's minivan.
Hey, Brandon, you've got one heck of a minivan here, bud.
Oh, yeah. We've got two minivans, actually. We are all about the minivan life.
You've got two minivans?
Yes. Yep.
How many? You have 10 kids? How many kids do you have?
We just have four, but, you know, they have a lot of stuff. No, it's been a while since you had little kids.
It's been a while.
They have a lot of stuff.
Kids
more than
require
ever.
A lot.
Listen, but I'm
hoping this diaper in the back of the seat back here is
listen. There are more cracker bits attached to the back of my thighs right now from this seat. I mean, I don't know what. I might have to take a shower. We'll see what happens.
So we've got.
I feel very at home.
We've got Mark Halleck in the midst of his sabbatical has graced us with his presence.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Brandon Moore in the driver's seat. Leading us from Nashville to Knoxville as we're getting some replant work done and dreaming and talking and thinking about vision and goals for our team. And we thought we would continue the conversation about goals for the replant boot camp. And Halleck, when you think about setting goals as a pastor,
yeah,
what comes to your mind?
I think, like, depending on your personality, I think some guys love to set goals. They live for it. They actually set their daily routine by setting goals. And I think it's great. I think there's other guys that are like, man, I don't want to mess with goals. I just want to love Jesus and love people, and we'll figure this thing out. And what I would say is the bottom line is if you aim at nothing, I mean, if you just think about this, you've heard this saying before. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time.
Every time.
And my concern is, I think ministry, if you don't have goals on some level, ministry is the kind of thing where you can spend a lot of time doing nothing. And quite frankly, not producing, you won't see the fruit that you hope to see if you don't set some goals. I think, to be honest, sadly, I think there are a lot of really lazy pastors that, quite frankly, are not using their time as wisely as they could be. And it's affecting their church. And so I think all of this, to me, is a stewardship issue. It's, Lord, I want to steward my life, my gifts, this ministry for your glory. And I think goals can help us to keep us focused on what we've been called to do for the long haul.
Yeah, I think goals, I mean, if you don't have goals, you know, you may tend towards laziness, or the other end of the spectrum is just the tyranny of the urgent.
Yeah,
like you're going to constantly be driven by the most critical of church members or those that are like most needy, and you'll never be able to proactively and intentionally move the church forward.
Yeah, that is, man, that's so true.
Mark, when you guys are setting goals at Calvary, you told me last night there's some ways you guys frame how to make sure you're setting the right kind of goals.
Yep. Yeah. One thing about goals, I think, is, and I would say this hopefully to encourage those that are listening, is I'm a fan of, on the one hand, I think it's good to have some big dream goals. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So your 5-year goals, your 10-year goals, I think that's great. Because in some ways, where are we going? But the truth is, you're never going to get there unless you set and accomplish a lot of small goals along the way.
Yeah.
And I think that actually is the key. And I think, especially for those who aren't big goal setters, I think once you get some wins under your belt, and that's what I mean by small goals. You know, at our church, like what we'll talk about with our team are, you know, three things that for me, let's just say for me, what I'm thinking about, is this goal clear? First of all, is there clarity about the goal? Number two, is it doable? In other words, is it actually achievable in a timely way? And then thirdly, is it measurable? So can I measure whether I accomplished this thing or not, right?
Yeah.
And so what I would say is approaching goals with those three things in mind on a small scale. So instead of just saying, okay, man, you know, we need to revamp our whole worship service. I would say, well, listen, what's like one thing? What's one goal that you could say right now that actually would be something you could do this Sunday? Maybe you've been saying, man, we don't have a lot of scripture or a little pro. Well, where could you add a prayer this Sunday in your service? Where could you add scripture reading in your own life? Instead of going, man, I need to spend way more time with the Lord than I am, and you feel convicted about it. And I'd say, listen, why don't you just start with 10 minutes first thing in the morning and devote the first 10 minutes of your morning to the Lord in prayer and just watch what God does. I think if your goals are too big, they feel overwhelming and you don't get wins and you get discouraged, right? You get discouraged. And so I think that's true as individuals. We need to set manageable goals. I think in our marriages, it's true, you know? Say, man, we need to grow. Man, I need to grow as a husband. Well, maybe it begins with setting a goal that each night this week, I'm going to spend 15 minutes just asking my wife about her day and looking at her and listening. That's achievable. You can do that.
Yeah, I think when you set small, achievable goals, they aggregate over time. And it becomes a multiplication in the impact of there's some things if you can just do just to chip away a little bit at a time at something, you'd be surprised overall. I think far too often we set, especially early on in our ministries, we often set really huge goals real fast, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm talking to pastors about goals, like they want to renovate the entire sanctuary and clear up the membership role and set a articulated vision and mission statement and revised the bylaws in the first 6 months. And it's just not realistic or wise. I mean, you might could do it, but it'd probably be the only 6 months that you're the pastor there.
Exactly.
And so I think setting aside like, all right, I think it's good. The kind of the 20-mile march idea of like, what are the 20-mile march, couple of things I can do every day to go, all right, I'm going to march ahead a little bit every day on this with these little commitments that help me move forward. What advice would you have, Mark, for guys that are trying to set goals for the health? So what goals should a pastor evaluate in his own life and try to set for himself as a leader?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I would say this. I think, let me give some categories. I think, you know, we're called to love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? So every part of who we are. So for me, I think it's helpful to break down your life in a couple key areas. I think one, how am I growing in my love for God in my mind right now? Okay, so in other words, if I want to love God with all my mind, are there goals set? And so to me, I'm going, how are you growing intellectually? Like, is there a book that you want to read, right? Is there a conference you need to go to? Do you need to listen to some talks on a particular area where you need to grow? So I think, like, to me, I'm always trying to grow in a particular area of, like, my leadership or even doctrinally or whatever.
Yeah.
I think your health. I think physically, you've got to have some goals, you know? It's like, okay, if I'm, you know, and I don't know where you are health-wise, but here's what I know. You need to probably eat better and you need to move more.
Yeah.
And you probably need to sleep more. And those three things are huge. Well, that doesn't just happen. So it's like for me, the goal that I set, and again, I am not, listen, it is pure discipline. But as I get older, you know, I try to run 4 times a week, 30 minutes a time. Now, again, when I say run, it's more of a run walk.
Yeah.
Heck, it's a waddle a lot of times. But I know this, man, I've got to move. I've got to keep moving. And so, again, I think there's the physical part. I think there's the relational part. I think you're home. With your wife, with your children. What goals are you setting? Are you having a regular date night with your wife? Are you having dates with your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you don't set a goal and get that written down, it's not going to happen. And before you know it, you're looking at your graduation day and you missed it.
Yeah.
So I guess those would be key areas. I also think this, Jimbo. I think there's a whole area of how has God uniquely wired you? Mm-hmm. And what dreams do you have that are unique to you that maybe don't even fall into those other areas? So, for instance, maybe there's something, maybe like you want to learn how to fish.
Yeah.
Or you want to write a book, you know? Or you want to do something for the glory of God. And I'd be the first to encourage you, be like, dude, you got to do that. But that's not going to just happen.
Right.
So what are some steps you could begin to take to move in that direction? Maybe you want to learn a language. Maybe, you know what I mean? So that in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you've accomplished something that you never thought you would. So those are some key areas that I would say personally. And then obviously the last one I was going to say is your walk with the Lord. I mean, your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, what we know is, dude, if we've all heard it and we need to hear it over and over again, you can't give what you do not have. You can't do it. For a while, you can fake it. You can fake passion. You can talk about the Lord and encourage other people. But if you are not feasting on Christ and his word, powered by the Spirit, and that is the passion of your life, and you got to fight for that, then you will not be a healthy, faithful pastor over the long haul.
Yeah.
So what are you doing about that, I guess is what I'm saying? What's your Bible reading intake look like? And this is where the spiritual disciplines serve us well. And so what does that look like in your daily life? And maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you feel guilty about that. And I'm not trying to give you guilt. I'd say, listen, Jesus loves you. Jesus has got you. He saved you. But he wants to be with you. He wants to empower you. And do you have brothers that might be able to hold you accountable or encourage you in some of those ways? But those would be some key areas that I would say are essential to be thinking through some specific goals, I think, to help us grow.
Yeah, I think sometimes even the pushback with when you were talking about like with family and some things like that, man, I don't want to be, I've had people tell me it feels real clinical and corporate to be like setting goals for me and my kids and time with my kids. And I get that. But here's what I'll tell you is that's not how your kids are going to receive it unless that's how you treat it.
Yeah,
if you treat it clinically and corporately, like, oh, I got to check this box, your kids will pick up on that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, my kid, so I travel a lot right now with work.
Yeah, let me just say, bud, you're really good at this. Yeah, share a little bit of what you've done.
So every time I come home from a trip, I make sure to get some one-on-one time with each kid to take my wife out on a date. Like, I set those as goals, and I write down and schedule, like, all right, when is the best time? And I'll get with my wife and say, hey, based on the kids' schedules, when's kind of the best time for each of them to get a moment with me? And we'll literally set it out, schedule it out. And I see how you could think that feels clinical or corporate to be like, oh, I'm scheduling this time. My kids are so grateful. And quite often I'll ask them, like, hey, how are you feeling about how much dad is traveling? How are you feeling about how I'm doing as a dad? I'll ask them to evaluate me as a dad. And my oldest has told me, man, I feel like I get you more now than I did when you weren't traveling.
Wow.
Because I'm setting strategic, because it's I have to be real intentional about it. And so I am being intentional. And so I'm getting good one-on-one time with each kid on a pretty regular basis. And we find ways to stay in touch even when I'm traveling. And so what I realized is when I was not at NAMM, man, I would come in late. And then as soon as dinner was over, I would go work on my sermon or I'd go work on something else. And so I was there in the same house, but I wasn't as available to them as I have been. And so I didn't have to wait until I was traveling. I could have just learned this. I wish I had learned this before.
What would you do differently? So think about that. Thinking about, you know, the kind of the average pastor who's where you were when you were Redemption. What would you do different now? Like, are there a few things looking back that maybe you would have done more differently? You'd be more intentional about, or?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could go back and be much more intentional about how I manage my time and the priorities of it and prioritizing family more and it's going ahead and scheduling that in and just saying like, oh, you know, Andy Addis gives some great advice in his book Rhythms of, if you think about the day having essentially four parts to it, morning, afternoon, evening, and night, you know, night is typically you give that to sleep, And so it gives you three other segments in the day, morning, afternoon, and evening. And one of the pieces of advice Andy gives is you can only give two of those to work. The other one has to go to family. So, you know, on no day are you trying to do morning, afternoon, and evening work. And honestly, that's what I would do a lot. I would work the morning, the afternoon, the evening. I would say hey to my kids. I'd give them a hug, tell them I love them, see them for a second. You know, I'd take my wife out on a date, you know, 2-3 times a month. And I'd go to my kid's soccer game, but they're playing soccer. I'm sitting on the sideline.
Yep.
But I wasn't building in those segments of the day. And so that's one of the things I wish I would have done and I try to do now when I'm home is, all right, there's three segments to the day. How am I spending those three segments? And I'm not allowed to give all three to work.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and I think where I've failed in the past is allowing them to bleed into each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like I may designate the evening as family time, but I'm still checking emails periodically.
Right.
I'm still responding to a call or whatever. So I do think it's good to have some real boundaries.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Brandon Moore. Brandon Moore is a man who juggles many balls.
Yeah.
And right now might be juggling more than anybody I know. But I also know about Brandon Moore is there's a lot. I promise that Jimbo and I could learn from Brandon about this topic because he is a very – he's kind of like, I don't know, you're kind of like Jason Bourne a little bit. I mean, you're handsome, you're smart. I don't know. I feel like if somebody tried to hijack this car, I think we'd be okay.
Yeah, I feel like
because
Brandon, we have
you,
Brandon can
Brandon's
handle
here.
It.
You've got your act together. Brandon, what would you say, talk to us about this topic and how it applies for you, especially maybe in this season of life?
Yeah, you know, I'm very much still figuring that out. You talk about juggling a lot of balls. I feel like I've been tossed a couple of extra and just I'm still trying to figure out how to navigate that in many ways. It's not easy. Like I think one of the things is like from season to season in life, like none of it's going to go perfect. And I think for me, one of the things I've often struggled with is I'm one of those guys that enjoys goal setting and almost too much to where like I can try to like perfect what is the goal going to be. And at the end of the day, it's just not helpful. You need some goals. They don't have to be perfect. It's not the perfection of the goal that's going to get you there, but it's like just having something intentional to go after. Let it be simple and know that you're going to hit seasons in which things get off and just be okay with that. Like, and adjust, right? Don't just because you lost that habit you were trying to set for a couple weeks, like because something crazy hit or like your kids weren't sleeping. I mean, that's the season I'm in is like, I mean, we never know when we're going to hit like a 2-week window where none of our kids are going to sleep and we're just going to be like walking zombies. So you just got to accept that that's just this like a season of life you're in and adjust back once you're able, right?
Yeah.
Once you recognize it. And so I think one of the things is having good accountability and coaches in your life potentially that can help you recognize when you've lost sight of those goals.
Yep, that's good.
And just help you ensure that you're actually checking those goals. Because I know for a while, like I would write goals at the beginning of the year or some other transition point, and then I wouldn't look at it for season. And
I think that's true for most people, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And that still provides some value because it puts you on a direction and a trajectory.
Yeah.
But it's not as valuable as if you're checking it at least once a week. Like, what are my goals for this quarter or this year? And so I think that's another piece is just having a regular rhythm of like reviewing your goals and saying, hey, what are the wins? What are the challenges? Where am I failing? And like doing all that in view of the gospel that like, hey, this isn't you're not trying to earn anything before God, but you're just trying to help yourself. Like I was reading this morning in Luke chapter 12, Jesus just talks about like, seek the kingdom, seek his presence. Seek his purposes. And that word seek is an intentional word. It's not just kind of see if you find yourself in the kingdom, right? Like it's seek it. It's pursue it.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So like how are you going to actively go after the Lord and enjoy in him and his desire and call in your life?
Yes. So good, man.
Yeah, I think as we think about this, you talk about seeking the, you know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the rest of this will be added to you. I do think that's a big part of this. I think understanding that being a part of the kingdom of God is something we have to pursue, something we have to go after. And as pastors and ministry leaders, setting goals is part of how we make sure we're actually focused on those same things. Because like you said, Brandon, otherwise we'll succumb to the tyranny of the urgent. And I know every pastor listening has experienced that week where you got to the end of the week and you go, did I do any actual ministry this week?
Yeah.
Or
No, for sure.
I have. I mean, do anything that was God glorifying, kingdom advancing. And part of the reason is, yeah, there's the mechanics of ministry, but part of that is if you had set goals and priorities for your week and your task and said, hey, these are priorities that I have to get to these this week. And it's going to be okay if some of those other things don't happen, because you're going to end up cheating somewhere. Some aspect of your life, work, ministry, family is going to get slighted. And so just decide, hey, it's not going to be family and it's not going to be my spiritual walk.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think you have to, at least with those two, you have to go, it won't be family and it won't be my spiritual walk.
Yep.
Those two are non-negotiable.
Yep.
Now, are there insane seasons that happen sometimes where, you know, you got four funerals in 1 week and there's some things you just can't avoid? Yeah, that's true. But that's where you go, okay, hey, you know, to your wife, to your kids, hey, I know this last week was crazy. Next week, I'm going to actually let Deacon Bill teach the Wednesday night lesson, and we're gonna make up some lost time there. Because you have to continually put at the top of your priority list your own spiritual walk, coming out of that overflow, like you were talking about, Mark. Because if you don't have a deep well spiritually, you can't lead well.
You can do it for a while on fumes, but you'll come to an end.
Yeah,
you can't do it with joy.
No,
that's for sure. Which is what your people need.
Yeah, your people need an overflow out of your ministry.
Right.
They need the
joy.
They need the passion that you have from the word. They, you know, sometimes they may not even fully understand everything that you're preaching. But honestly, like if they're like, I don't know what he was talking about, but boy, he sure believes it.
That's right. Well, I hope and pray, man, that that's one thing our people get from us every week.
Yeah.
Is, dude, he loves God and he loves the word. And even if I'm struggling, I know listen, we need to pray for that, but we need to pursue that at the same time. You know, one thing I was going to say, Jimbo, is I think when it comes to goals, and this is true, and you know, it can be discouraging in some ways, maybe when you think about what you can accomplish in a month.
Yeah.
But what you can accomplish in a year, or where you will be in 3 years if you just stay steady, or 5 years. And it's incredible what can happen. And Eugene Peterson wrote a book years ago called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And so often, man, I preach that to myself and say, you know what? Just keep doing the little things over and over, steady. Just stay steady.
Yeah.
That's something we don't see in our culture.
Yeah.
And you don't see in ministry. Just be steady. Seek the Lord. Have another quiet time.
Yeah.
Love your wife. Love your kids. Hug everybody on Sunday morning when you get to church. Preach your guts out the best you can. And just keep doing those things over the long haul. And you'll be amazed by the fruit you'll see over time that the Lord will produce.
Yeah. That's good. Hey, Mark, as we come to a close, how can our listeners be praying for you and your ministry?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. I would say, you know, I mean, a lot of what we're talking about. I mean, I think, you know, right now it's interesting. I'm actually on sabbatical, so for another month. And so I guess specifically, I would say, man, pray for me for the remainder of my sabbatical, just to continue to, in some ways, I feel like it's a preparation season for the next season. And so I'm going on a prayer retreat. And so, man, I just appreciate even prayers for that time with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying myself, quite frankly, to figure out some goals.
Yeah.
For the next year, as in our family, we just dropped our son off at college. We're now empty nesters. And so I'm kind of feel like I'm entering into this new season, my wife and I, where we have actually a little bit of time that we haven't had. Mm-hmm. And I want to steward that well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities. So I guess just prayer for discernment in how the Lord and the Spirit's leading me, how he can use me in my life most effectively for his glory. And then, I just want to love the Lord, man, and love people. And And so I would just say for the next month, especially, just keep praying that God would show me increasingly clearly, like, what does that look like for Mark in this season of my life? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good. Would you pray for those that are listening to this episode?
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we do. We just love you, Lord, and so grateful for your kindness, your grace toward us through Christ. And Lord, I do pray that we would never stop being amazed at who you are, that we would never stop being amazed at the gospel, that would lead us to, as Brandon just said a few minutes ago, enjoying you, Lord, and not just knowing about you, but knowing you and knowing your word and being conformed more and more to the image of Christ for your glory and our joy. And so, Lord, I pray that for everybody listening. I know there are those who are feeling spiritually dry or discouraged. And so, Holy Spirit, would you meet them right where they are? Would you remind them of these truths we're talking about? Remind them of your deep love for them, that there's nothing they could do to earn your love and your kindness towards them. There's no way they could lose it. And so, Lord, would you help them to enjoy you? And may the overflow of that be evident in their way they minister, in the way they love their families and their congregations, of their pastors, in their preaching, in their praying. Lord, may we just be so grateful. God, forgive us for the ways we fall short, but forgive us, Lord, for our thankless hearts. Forgive us, Lord, maybe for ways we've been critical or cynical, when the reality is, God, all is grace. All is grace. Open our eyes to see it, to thank you for it, God, to live into it. And then, Lord, use us to make your name famous in our communities. Those that are listening, God, would you, even this week, God, give them hope? Would you open their eyes to see why you have put them in that community, in that church right now? Because it's not an accident. And Lord, would you use them in profound ways that the gospel would spread and the name of Christ would be known? We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.